or is difficult in understanding or determining the will of God. You may recall I stress that we live by faith. That's depending on the direction and leading of God. We do not live by fate, F-A-T-E. We live by faith. But even sometimes Christians, they'll say, well, you know, I think that was supposed to happen. And we try to pass off things that take place with a Christianized or a religious version of fate. But your problem and mine in day-by-day living is reading or understanding the events of life. How do I understand things that happen? How do I understand the circumstances that take place, you know, from day to day? And this is one significant reason why determining the will of God should not depend primarily, depend somewhat, okay? Circumstances play a role, but only as God uses them. But we should not determine the will of God by circumstances or events or happenings. A person or persons can read or use circumstances like statistics to confirm or deny whatever it is they want to do. Years ago, I had an involvement with an individual who wanted to go to Florida. They wanted to move to Florida. And so this individual talked about it. And then at one point, he began to say, and he spoke to me personally, but then he said it in general to other people, you know, I believe it's God's will for us to move to Florida. I've been thinking about this an awful lot. I've been praying about it, and I've come to the conclusion that it's God's will for us to move to Florida. Now, knowing the family, I had some questions. But listen, once somebody says, I've determined it's God's will, how do you object to that? How do you go about saying, well, you know, I think you ought to consider this, this, and this? Because you would be speaking against God. So it's, you know, it's a religious way that we can use some legitimate statements. But the legitimate statement can soon become jargon. And you say, well, you're being awful hard. Well, I think it was within 6 months the guy came back. And we didn't hear, I misread what I thought was God's leading. We didn't hear, well, God led us back, and he accomplished what he sent us down there for, and then, you know, giving a couple reasons why he sent us there, just ended up coming back. So I wondered to myself, what happened to God's will? If it was God's will for you to go there, how come you're back here? Like I say, without any acknowledgement that what he sent me there for, he achieved, I learned, okay? And so I believe that having accomplished that, it freed us up to come back. No, see? And observing that individual, that was not always unusual. So I would caution you regarding tagging on to something. This is God's will.
Right.
If you feel that's the case, great. But don't put God on the spot. Okay? Don't show God to be fickle. Because that's almost what it amounts to. Unless the person's going to say, you know, I went, and once I got there and we saw things, I realized I made a mistake. It takes a mighty big person to say that. So circumstances play a role. In that situation, I knew the circumstances that were involved. Now, the paper you have in front of you, and I'm going to talk more about this, but if I don't talk about it now already, you're going to be looking at it all the while, wondering when I'm going to do it. When it comes to determining the will of God, and there are additional aspects that can come into play. I am just showing you one approach, okay? I'm not saying this is it, do this, and that's the only way you can go about it to know the will of God. I'm not saying that. But when you are trying to determine the will of God, trying to determine, is this thing the will of God? Is this something that God would have me to do? When these three lines converge on that item, that thing that you're wondering about, when these three lines converge on that, then you have a fairly safe approach to seeing that this indeed can be the will of God. And the top line is one's experience or one's training, all right? One's experience or one's training. I often use Sunday school as an example. I'll use that again. The matter of Sunday school, you know, teaching in Sunday school, for example. And listen, those of you who are teaching, I don't know how it is you got into teaching. I don't know what influenced you to get into teaching. I don't know any of that. But I know this is something that a person could use when they're trying to figure out, should I become a Sunday school teacher? Number one, experience or training. If an individual has had the opportunity and blessing of attending courses or classes that are done for Sunday school, teaching Sunday school, that's wonderful. There was a time when I think in the Rochester area, they had once a year, and possibly spring and fall, they had Christian education courses. And it was a group of churches from up there that would get together, and they would put this Christian education conference on. And I know we, from Shingle House, we took a van full of people up to it, and from all over, churches came in because it was an opportunity. I mean, just like, we can't put on teacher training sessions, conferences. You recall, as teachers, there was a time where we had workshops, and then COVID came, and that messed that up royally. But we put on workshops and tried to do something to help ourselves, and I'd like to see that get started back up. But all these churches got together. It was marvelous. So a person may have been and attended them. They don't teach, but I think that's of interest to me. So they go, and so they get training. Now, experience may be another way of determining it. If, for example, when it comes to teaching, an individual had occasion through the years to serve as a teacher, or maybe substitute as a teacher, and just they had some experience in this realm. Then circumstances and opportunity. The circumstances in this situation, of course, would be that the church that I attend, their Sunday school, needs teachers. As a matter of fact, they've been announcing that we need some substitute teachers. And so that would be the opportunities, okay? and the kind of circumstance that would, of course, fit with such an opportunity. And then, and I think this is the most important one, and that is counsel. Counsel from the Word of God, as one would read the Scriptures and in their own personal reading and studying, they would find Scriptures that have to do with teaching. Or they would find Scriptures that had to do with understanding the Word of God. And these could all become signposts, if you will, by way of counsel. And then, of course, godly people. Seeking mature, stable Christians, godly people, and maybe talking with them. And saying, now, our illustration is teacher, you know. And so an individual may go to a mature Christian that they have in the church, and they might say, you know, I've been thinking about Sunday school teaching. Pastor's been talking about needing substitutes, and I've been thinking about it. What do you think about me maybe teaching? Okay? Now, you know, you're not talking to anybody person. You're talking to somebody that you know well, you have confidence in, and that you believe is a godly person. And then they can give you some of their counsel regarding this. And and this, when these three lines can converge on that one thing, okay, and there's different things. You know, it might have to do with where you're living, and you have to determine, do you want to move? Not to Florida, okay, but do you want to move, you know, from the north side of town to the south side of town or whatever, okay? And you can take and you can apply some of these three lines to try and help determine and understand and the will of God. Now, you remember on Sunday, I read from an article by James Ray, missionary at large to Baptist International Missions, and he listed these five things. The opportunity is not the call. The ability is not the call. The invitation is not the call. The need is not the call. The desire is not the call. But all of these things combine together to bring us to a point of a decision. Now, he gave five things. When I got ready for tonight, I did not take the time, but I believe each of those five that he lists, opportunity, ability, invitation, need, and desire, could likely be slotted onto one of these lines. And just as he says, no one of them determines God's call or God's leading in a particular direction, but putting them together, it causes that to happen. And so a Francis Dixon I quoted on Sunday, who said, and I repeat it, the call of God is that deep inward conviction accompanied by peace in the heart, and confirmed by the Word of God. that God would have us to do a certain thing. Okay? So, here again, when we're looking at this matter of trying to determine God's will, God's leading, okay, God's direction in something, we can use such a statement to be a guidance. Now, as I used the illustration of the Sunday school, you know, and I'm looking down and there sits Tiffany. Now, Tiffany was the most recent person who was asked to become a teacher. And as I looked over this, okay, as I'm reading it to you, I'm trying to think and understand, did I take Tiffany over these lines at all, you know? well, of course, as the person trying to fill the position, I don't do this. This is for you, the person who's being asked to fill the position. Because I wouldn't know all of these things, okay? And but Tiffany would have known her experience and training, okay? The opportunity, I knew that, but only she could get counsel from other godly people. Now, let me say this. When it comes to as superintendent, this is a way that I operate. When I went to Tiffany and I told her what our need was and asked her if she would consider doing it, and because I wouldn't want her to feel forced into it, I can be very persuasive. I remember one time I was going to ask somebody something and Pat said, well, now, are you going to ask them or are you going to tell them? And I said, I don't tell people. She said, but yeah, your way of asking is pretty close to telling somebody. You can ask something in a way that almost obligates the person. And I wouldn't want to do that, okay? Because like when it came to teaching, it would not be good for the Sunday school if somebody got in to be a teacher of a class and they didn't want to be there and they didn't like being there. That would not be good for those students, those children, okay? Everything on the surface might look okay, but believe me, the Spirit of God can't work through such a heart. And so you want, you know. And so I do remember, like I say, Tiffany being the most recent. Excuse me. I told her we had a need. Would you think about doing it? I said, I know you're going to want to think about it, pray about it. You're going to want to talk to Kyle about it. And so I said, then you let me know. And then there's another thing that I said. And that is this. If you think you could teach, you take it and teach, and I don't know what the time frame was I gave you, 3 months, 4 months, okay? Take it and do it for a long enough period to get over the new teacher jitters, okay? Long enough to get over the shock, okay? But if after, let's say, 4 months, she had determined, and often I'll use it to say, if you determine this is not your cup of tea, let me know, okay? And had she come and said to me, you know, Pastor, I've tried it now for 4 months, and it just isn't coming together. It just isn't working for me. Now, I probably would have inquired what the difficulty was in case it was something I could have resolved and given a solution for, but has she said, no, I can't do it? I'd rather know that. Sure, it would be a disappointment. You know, it was 6 months before I realized that we passed the probation period. And I thought to myself, it must be going okay. And I don't know if you remember when I came to you and I asked you the Sunday school teaching, how's it going for you? And I don't recall what she said. All I know it was positive, and a superintendent, that's all out of here. Okay? And so, this can be a practical help. Now, you can come to the conclusion of God's leading, God's direction, without such a little diagram. I understand that. But there's an awful lot of people who have a struggle with trying to determine for some specific thing what is God's will. God will walk us through the maze on this path of life. We may not always know at what position we are or where to go when we're at a crossroad. You see, in fall around here, the cornfields, and how some farmers will cut a maze through there, and then, you know, it becomes an entertainment event. I've never done that, but I always thought that would be neat, okay? I like those puzzles where you can, you know, try and figure out how to get to the end. And now, I confess, I'll look at the end, I'll look at the beginning, and I'll glance along the way before I start. But I like to do that. But, you know, life can sometimes seem that way to us. Do I go left or right here? Should I do this or shouldn't I do this? If I do it, how long should I do it? And so we don't always know where to go. But here are some Bible verses when it comes to the puzzle of figuring out the path of life. In Isaiah, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 40. It's a familiar passage. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord, when they don't know what to do, that's to renew their strength. They can get it figured out just like an eagle flies. And they can run at this matter, and they won't get weary. They might even walk through this experience, but they're not going to faint from it. You see, this is the promise of God, that when we are in the maze of life and trying to determine what to do, we can depend upon scriptures like this, that the Lord is going to strengthen us. And even though we feel mighty weak and frail, we can be strong as an eagle. And we won't have to be concerned about getting weary and falling over. No, we got God on our side. I look around, I look back there. So it's Richard and Shirley. In the spring of their life, they lived up in North Tonawanda for years. And they had a camp down here they'd come to. And they liked it. And then they had to make a determination. Should we move down there where we like to be? Now, I don't know what all they went through in determining it, but I can only imagine, just like going through that corn maze, there may be sometimes they turned left and found out, oh, we should have turned right. And they had to determine what to do, how to go. And they had God who would renew their strength. I look over on this side of the church, and there's Ronnie and Amy. Not a whole lot unlike that, is it? Lived down there in Warren. Had your own house. Very familiar with the Warren area. That was life. And then some circumstances shifted and changed. And then you had to determine, what should we do? Okay, what is the will of God? They had many experiences in life. A lot of times those experiences are our training. Okay, and so they had to determine. We've heard them give testimony to the satisfaction of the leading of God in their lives. They that wait upon the Lord. We're all familiar with Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So here we are walking the path of life, not always knowing necessarily where to go. Whatever flashlight I had, be it, you know, back with the old big D cell batteries, flashlights, if I had just two batteries in it, it never did shine far enough. So I get one that had four batteries in it. Ooh, that sucker did shine out a whole lot further. But never as far as I wanted it to go. Okay? So in trying to determine the leading and the will of God, when we go to the Word, it may not shine out ahead of us as far as we'd like. But if we put with that Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord, He'll shine it. He'll show it. I had a fellow tell me one time regarding this verse, you know, you don't really need it to light up any more than the next step. Yeah, I'd like to see 20 steps ahead. God says all you need is one more step, the next step. And we can trust God for that next step. Hebrews chapter 13. And this is the last scripture we'll turn to. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What man or circumstances shall do unto me. So if God only gives us enough light for one more step, sometimes in His graciousness He might give us light for two steps. But when we want more, we must remember He promised He'll never leave us. We're only taking one more step, but He promised He'll be there with us. And since He said He'd never leave us, when we need light for the next step, He'll be there with us, and He'll be our helper, and we need not fear. Now, I know it's, we believe that. It's in the Bible. It's true. But boy, when it comes to living in those kind of experiences, it just doesn't live all that easily, does it? No, indeed not. But it is in the Bible, and therefore I must proclaim it. That we can say, I will not fear what this circumstance shall do unto me. Because if God doesn't remove the circumstance, what does He do? He takes us through it. And He'll always be there for us. God's will. What is God's will? It's God's determination, God's direction for our lives. Father in heaven, I do pray that these thoughts on the matter of your will, these scriptures by way of encouragement and challenge, shall lead to us.